few years before we can look back and recognize some things. I recall seeing my mother, not understanding the depth of what she was going through.
For more expository preaching from Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, tune in weeknights at 9 and Saturday mornings at 9 on The Truth.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on the broadcast today. Looking forward to your dialogue and discussion. Did you watch the interview from the Senate with Dr. Sir Anthony Fauci? I call him Dr. Death. Some would say that's a little harsh. No, he's responsible, as Senator Hawley himself said, and Senator Ron Johnson said to Fauci, you're responsible, single-handedly responsible, for the death of over 1 million people in America and 15 to 20 million around the globe. That's a pretty powerful, poignant statement that I happen to agree with and embrace. So with that being said, what is it that you think? I'd love to hear from you, our listeners. If you tuned in, if you think that we're off target with what we're saying, I'd love to hear from you. What did you get out of that? Do you think that it was a waste of time? Do you think there was anything founded that even though Fauci did not speak, what did it say? What was the end result of the interview, even though Fauci took the fifth 111 times? Let me remind you, 111 times of taking the fifth means that he was asked pointed, personal, direct questions 111 times. So just by the questions, that tells me that, as the old cliche, the cat's out of the bag. The truth is already being told. We have today with us here in the studio Dr. Reed Sheftall. Dr. Sheftall has published 3 books, thousands and thousands and thousands of pages, all footnoted, quoted, and directly referenced with his research on the subject of COVID. Did COVID exist? What caused COVID? Et cetera, et cetera. I want to focus today, though, on Fauci and Fauci's trying to circumvent the truth. So Dr. Sheftall, being very, very to the point, by Dr. Fauci taking the fifth 111 times, what did that prove? What did it say to you?
I think that a lot of the questions that were asked, and they were very conservative in the questions that they asked. Mm-hmm. They didn't go overboard at all. But if you listen to, like, Rick Scott, the questions he asked, they were all yes or no questions, mm-hmm. basically. Basically, he was telling the history of it.
That's right.
And Rand Paul's opening statement was very good. It summarized it quite well, although I've got a problem with Rand Paul's understanding of the science.
Explain what
and
you
he
said.
He is a doctor. Well, he still thinks it was an accidental release from the Wuhan Institute of Virology.
Tell us why you think that's not so.
Because it was planned. You can't plan something and then have an accidental release.
Explain what you're saying by that.
Well, there was no virus. I've proved that in my third book, the volume 2 of Sanction the COVID Murders. It's called The SARS-CoV-2 Virus, A Forensic Investigation, and I looked into it in great depth, and I've proved that there was no actual virus. Now, that's off subject for today a little bit, but I'll be happy to explain why. But I think I've explained it a few times on the show, and in the future I will explain it again. I will explain it again in the future. And but today, you know, focusing on what happened yesterday, the other thing that bothered me about it, not only was Senator Peters, the Democrat from Michigan, talking nonsense, but Senator Blumenthal did too when he got his chance to talk. He mentioned he was talking about the hospitals were overflowing. Nobody knew what was going on. Actually, the hospitals were not overflowing.
That's correct.
He mentioned that the there were mercy ships in New York Harbor trying to act like that they were there because of all the overflow. But actually, they didn't see a single COVID patient.
That's right.
They delivered a few babies. Mm-hmm. And then they turned around and went back because there was no business. Mm-hmm. And in volume one of Sanction the COVID Murders, I've got a picture of nurses choreographing line dancing routines because the hospitals were completely empty during COVID. Mm-hmm. They were not overflowing like the news media kept telling everyone. There was no one in the hospital.
What did happen, and I've got the documents on that, several hospitals closed entire floors on the basis that they were filled, but what they were doing, those floors were being remodeled during the time of COVID.
Yeah,
and
I
that
know,
was used as an excuse.
Right. They were completely empty,
yes.
The hospital. So the nurses, I've got pictures of 30 nurses doing a line dancing routine. You can look them up on YouTube anytime you want.
But now, for the benefit of our listeners, Dr. Shefthal, they might think, well, I was sick. I had COVID. Had a friend, a relative, neighbor, brother, sister, aunt, uncle, mom, or dad died from COVID. So with what you're saying, how does that have a nexus to the fact that people died from, quote, COVID? Explain that.
Yeah, a lot of people died. But they didn't die because a novel coronavirus infected them from another person. That was all made up to scare people into taking the vaccine. What they died of was diseases that had been rebranded or relabeled as COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
For example, atypical pneumonia was the original disease that the WHO director said there were 14 cases of atypical pneumonia in the Hunan seafood wet market. So COVID-19, the whole time, was just atypical pneumonia and some other diseases. It wasn't a separate disease. It was a rebranding.
So then it goes down to a basic question that I know our listeners may be asking.
Yeah.
If that's the case, why do we talk about gain-of-function research and the splicing of the virus and enhancing it to aerosol it to do the damage?
Okay, I explained this in Volume 1 of Sanction the COVID Murders. This is a very important point. I called it a tale of two viruses, as
okay.
You might remember. Mm-hmm. One of the two viruses was what they did in the Wuhan Institute of Virology with a coronavirus backbone.
Okay.
They got a coronavirus backbone, and they inserted modules onto it to try to make an infectious entity. They put a furin cleavage site on it, which you've heard of before.
Yes.
They put some restriction endonuclease modules on it, which is a little esoteric for what we're talking about today. But the point is, think of a Lego set where you have the female part of the Lego set and you put the male parts in, right, of different colors, and you decide that I don't want a red one there, I want an orange piece there. And then you put another module in. Well, that's how they used the coronavirus backbone and put different genetic modules in it to see what would happen with the humanized mice.
So what would you say the ultimate goal of that was?
And so that's one of the two viruses in a tale of two viruses.
But let's go back to that one for a moment. What was the goal? What was the purpose?
Oh, they'd love to make a bioweapon, but it just doesn't work that way.
That was exactly what they were
working for. Yeah, they were trying to make a virus that would go from person to person, but they failed at it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And here's the proof. They found a patient, a 51-year-old Chinese man, who was an alumnus of the Hunan Seafood Wet Market,
yes,
who got sick with pneumonia. And then the WHO director said, and it's caused by a novel coronavirus. He had no justification for saying that. He had no proof of it at all. But that 51-year-old Chinese man went to a hospital in Wuhan, Wuhan Central Hospital, and that's where a doctor named Fan Wu sequenced his genome after two samples were created. One was the bronchoalveolar lavage fluid, which was filled with 56 million pieces of RNA in his bronchoalveolar lavage fluid. And we had a mathematician look at the data set, and he tells us that there's absolutely no proof that the pieces of RNA that he put into the genome of the virus came from a virus, let alone from SARS-CoV-2.
Mm-hmm.
So the genome was a total fabrication, okay? He also performed cytopathic effect experiments on it, on the sample, which means you take, and there's all sorts of problems with this, but they take African green monkey kidney cells instead of human cells, like human lung cells, which is what it's supposedly infecting. But if they use human lung cells, the cytopathic effects don't work.
That's right. Wouldn't have given what they were searching.
Right. So they don't do that. You know, it's all pseudoscience. So they use a monkey kidney cell, African green monkey, and they put the specimen in a wash over the cells, and they add fetal bovine serum to it, which is full of DNA and RNA. They add nutrition. They add antibiotics, which are toxic to the cells. See, that's what why they're adding the antibiotics. They say it's to sterilize the mixture, but viruses are small. You can filter out bacteria. You don't need to put antibiotics in the mix. You know, the whole thing is so pseudoscientific. And then after they let it brew for a day or so, then they reduce the nutrition and increase the antibiotics. And then the cell breaks open and some round particles come out. And those round particles are exosomes. They're not viruses, even though all the scientists, all the people doing virology, identify them as viruses. But here's the problem. Those things that are identified as viruses, they get released from a broken open cell even when they don't add the specimen to it. So they're not even adding the virus to the mix. And they run the experiments, and the same cells, the same round bodies appear. So they're not viruses. Plus, viruses have to be exact copies of each other.
Yes.
Because when one virus gets inside of a cell, it releases its genetic material and makes, and that's what the information is to make the copies. So they all have to be literally exact copies. And if you saw the pictures in my book, I know
yes.
you read it.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see how really well those exact copies of the phages were?
Right.
And how not exact copies the particles were that were coming out of
correct.
And a doctor named John Enders, who was a Harvard researcher who won the Nobel Prize for this, performed the control experiment, which is running everything exactly the same without adding the human specimen, you know, the lung fluid. And he said the results were indistinguishable. And that proves right there that the specimen wasn't even necessary, the thing that supposedly had the infectious virus in it.
Yes.
They got the exact same picture, indistinguishable, his words, not mine.
Let's go back to some rudimentary, fundamental, elemental aspects of this. So we're stating facts, details, et cetera, et cetera.
So just, I'm sorry, Pastor, to interrupt you, but you initially asked me about the people dying. Yes, a lot of people died, but they died of atypical pneumonia. They died of flu, influenza.
Yes.
There were 38 million cases worldwide in 2019 and only 1,500 in the whole world in 2020.
On the flu.
And they mentioned that yesterday, too.
Yes.
Rand Paul did in his opening statement,
yes.
is that they disappeared in 2020. They disappeared because they were all relabeled as COVID-19.
Absolutely.
That's all that happened.
So let's look at some fundamental, if you please, bottom line things.
Yes, sir.
How much of this, in your opinion, did Sir Anthony, Dr. Fauci know?
All of it. He was involved in every aspect of this.
Explain that to us.
He started doing this way back in the mid-2000s, 2014, 2015, 2016. They were preparing this. As a matter of fact,
what do we know as facts about 2014, 15, that date, time frame? I didn't want to jump in, but
you have to.
All right.
You have to look at the history of gain of function research through the Obama administration. He Obama banned gain of function research in the United States, and that's why these guys went overseas to do it in China.
Absolutely.
And this is what was going on in 2014, 2015, 2016. And then they took away the ban in about 2019 or something.
Let's look at this, too, for our listeners to understand. 2014, when Barack Hussein Obama, President Obama, canceled by executive order the gain-of-function research at Chapel Hill, North Carolina, the university.
Everywhere.
And everywhere.
Yeah,
and so
it illegal in the U.S.
So what Fauci did was then give a grant to another organization to do the research in China.
That's exactly right.
Tell us about that.
He gave a grant to a company called EcoHealth Alliance, and that is the president of that company is Peter Daszak.
Yes.
And Peter Daszak went over to the caves in Yunnan province in China, which is right on the border of Laos and Myanmar, and he conducted research on bat viruses, where they would go into the guano of the bats, because you can get the genetic material out of that, and they took that bat guano and the viruses they found in it and the genetic material up to the Wuhan Institute of Virology, which is actually 1,200 miles away. It's very far. Mm-hmm. And he took it up to the Wuhan Institute of Virology and became friendly with Zhang Shili. Xi Zhangli is the way they say it. They say their last name first.
Yeah.
And she had already been in contact and close association with Ralph Baric at the University of North Carolina, learning how to do gain-of-function research.
Correct.
And insert those modules into coronavirus backbones.
Mm-hmm.
And also, he provided her with humanized mice. She didn't know how to humanize the mice at first. So it opens up a horrible quagmire of these guys giving away our technology to China.
Yes.
And so you wonder why they do it. Well, they're getting paid a lot of money from China.
That's the key.
And they're selling our secrets.
Yes.
It's just like Julius and Ethel Rosenberg selling nuclear secrets.
Yes.
They're selling biological weapons secrets.
Absolutely. Hold your thought for just a moment. I believe we have Lily on the line. Lily, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood. It's Sam Sorcery and yesterday, or yesterday. I just have one little question that has been on my mind, so I just might as well.
Lily, if you would speak a little closer to the telephone, I can barely hear you.
Okay. Are you hearing me any better now?
Yes, that's good. Go ahead.
Better? Okay. My question is just with the truth being unraveled, gradually coming up. Is there a possibility that other nations could file lawsuits on the United States because of their involvement in it?
Dr. Sheftel, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that Biden's immunity agreement with Dr. Fauci only covers him in the United States. I don't know how he could impose his immunity to another country, sovereign state. Right?
Right.
So somebody in France, I would think, should be able to sue Dr. Fauci for what he did if one of their family members died or they were injured in some way. I'm not a lawyer, and I don't know about that. I'm certainly not an international lawyer.
Yeah.
I'm not even a country lawyer from Yulee. So I don't know. But I'm just saying it doesn't seem right that Biden would be able to take away the rights of other people in other countries to sue Fauci.
But one of the things, too, that I think is underlying thought there, if he gave the pardon, let's say the pardon is legitimate, let's say the pardon is sufficient and will be legally upheld, then his taking the Fifth Amendment does not release him, because under the pardon, he has violated the Fifth Amendment, nullified the Fifth Amendment, because he's pardoned.
Yeah, that I do know a little bit about. Like when you have a woman who's in an automobile and the man in the automobile kills someone, the prosecutor will frequently give immunity to the lady to tell what she knows. But if she refused to tell on the stand, they take the immunity away and prosecute her, too.
Yes.
So people that get immunity must answer the questions in court.
Yes, absolutely. Lily, thank you so much for your call. That was a very pivotal question.
Good.
God bless you as we keep looking up.
Thank you, Lily.
I believe we have Richard on the line. Richard, go over the question or comment, please. Richard, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I had Delta. I obtained Delta when it first came out 4 years ago, 5 years ago, whenever it was. And I almost died. I spent 4 days in the hospital Christmas. Didn't think I was going to see my relatives anymore. And at the instruction of Dr. Fauci, I went and got triple vaxxed. And I haven't been the same since then.
Well, Richard,
I watched the entire thing yesterday. I watched the entire thing, I doubt they're going to do anything to him, but they ought to cut his fingers off and then cut his tongue out and turn him into a Helen Keller. That's what they need to do. As for Trump, I'm a little upset with Trump. He should have nuked the Chinese for sending that virus over here. That's what I think.
Well, Richard, hold a moment. Let Dr. Sheftall respond to you. I'm real sorry to hear of what you had gone through. I'm familiar with that. As you know, our oldest son was murdered in a Virginia hospital, 71 days, 61 of those days on a ventilator, and they gave him the remdesivir, which destroyed his heart, his liver, his lungs, and his kidneys, and that was the primary drug that Dr. Fauci had recommended, and it is now considered bad drug across America. Dr. Sheftall, respond for that.
Yes, Pastor, thank you. And again, we all feel so bad for you for what happened. Richard, I feel the same way about you. You did survive it, but it sounds like you're having some trouble from it. And the trouble you're having is not from a virus. It's from the vaccine. A lot of people get those two confused. The vaccine really did exist, and it was a product of the government trying to scare people into taking a vaccine that supposedly would make antibodies to the spike protein. But what they were really doing, in other words, by producing spike protein in your body, Richard, mm-hmm. Do you understand the basic principle there? Richard, do you understand what happened there? The vaccines that you were given had modified RNA, which coded for the spike protein, to be thrown into your blood so that you would form an antibody response to it and supposedly protect you from a virus. But actually, there was no virus. The spike protein had nothing to do with something sticking off of a coronavirus. It was a molecule they wanted you to have in your body to produce from your own cells. And we think that the purpose of it was to make the blood-brain barrier more permeable. And if you read volume 2 of my book, it's only 105 pages. It has the proof that there was no virus. And I strongly recommend you to get a copy of this book. You can either get it here at the church or you can get it on Amazon. And please, please look up Sanction the COVID Murders. Read that book and you'll understand what happened to you much better. And actually, it might upset you more because there was no reason at all to take the vaccine.
And Richard,
I told people immediately, When I was asked, I was making videos at the time, and I pleaded with people, please do not take this poisonous vaccine.
Richard, you can go to conservative.edu, conservative.edu, scroll down to the bookstore and put in the title of the book, and be delighted to see that you get that. It will be a blessing, I believe. It's a good read. It's an intensive read, but it's worth your time to do so. Richard, God bless you. We'll keep praying for you and bless you for calling.
Richard, can I just say one more thing to Richard?
Yes.
Are you still on, Richard?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm here.
You're talking about what a severe case of the virus that you had, but actually you had another disease that was very similar. You had either atypical pneumonia or influenza or something else that was very severe. And I made the point last time I spoke to the pastor that If people have had three very bad bouts of the flu in their life, one-third of them are going to say that it was the worst flu they've ever had.
Right.
And it was not the flu. It was something much worse. But remember, if you've had it three times, then one of those three is the worst time you've ever had. And usually it happens as you get older and older, and eventually it kills you.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I understand.
So I know you think you had some Delta variant, but actually you didn't. You had disease that was rebranded as COVID-19. Read the book and you'll see the proof there was no virus.
Absolutely. Richard, thank you so much for your call. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go with the question or comment, please.
Gentlemen, how are you this afternoon?
Hey, Jim.
Doing great. I pray that you are. Go ahead with your question.
Yes, sir. I know of your son. I was in the listening audience and a caller during that whole period there. Holly, yesterday, whenever he asked Fauci, or whatever, asked the audience if they believed that they were harmed or had family members harmed, and people stood, Holly asked him to turn around and look at the people, and
yeah,
he wouldn't even do that. After listening, or after reading his diary entries, particularly whenever he admitted that, look, this virus is not you know, natural there. It's a man-made. Then he turned around and said it was a wet market. Then the bats. Then they went to the pangolin. You know, all the facts represented from his diary yesterday disputed everything that he said publicly. I firmly believe that my brother passed away due to the COVID injection or the COVID vaccine. He was 61. He's a year and a half younger than me, and that was 2 years ago. And he died from an enlarged heart. That's all they would say. They wouldn't say it was myocarditis or anything like that. They just said his heart was enlarged.
Okay, Jim, I'm so sorry to hear this. This is something I didn't know about you. But you're absolutely right. The virus didn't kill anybody. The vaccine is what killed everybody. That's why the all-cause mortality was normal in 2020 and way elevated in 2021. Did you ever see the guy from the insurance company? He was the president of the insurance association, and something America Insurance, he was the CEO of, and he said that there was a five sigma increase in working age deaths in the first two quarters of, or the first, second, and third quarter of 2021. A five sigma event, a two sigma event is a 1 in 200 year event statistically. This is a five sigma event. We're talking about standard deviations from the mean of all these people from 18 to 65 that were dying. And that occurred in 2021, not 2020. They're all dying of sequelae from the vaccine. And if you read my second volume, which is only 105 pages long, Appendix 2 is a list of all the diseases that occurred in the first 2 months post-vaccine. And there are horrible diseases in there, including cardiomegaly. So, you know, it's a known complication of the vaccine.
Absolutely.
And you certainly have a very strong case that your brother died of cardiomegaly secondary to the vaccine.
Absolutely. Jim, thank you for your call. Our time is just about, as Little Boy says, collapsed on us, but I'm thankful that you've called. Dr. Fauci, I'm thankful that you've taken time to be with us, but what we just touched on brought
Dr.
to memory.
Dr. Sheftall, don't call me Dr. Fauci. That's the worst insult you can give me.
Dr. Sheftall, thank you for being with us, but I want to add a little footnote to that, and that is that Dr. Fauci's numbers that he gave as far as the dying from the COVID quote disease or from the common flu, and he gave some exacerbated numbers that he in his diary put the correct figures, but he gave an enormous figure for the general public to frighten people into taking the vaccination. But thank you for being with us. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
You're listening to The Truth